Good morning. I can't say it's nice to be up here. But it's good to be able to witness from our Lord and Savior. Before we go any further, let us look to God in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look to your word, the Bible. Open our eyes, our minds and hearts, and speak to each of us that is present, that we may comprehend what you are saying to us. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those that know me, you're wondering, when the gifts were given out for speech, I think I would end up in the wrong lineup. This is not my forte, but I hope that God will give me strength and understanding to be able to properly present to you what he has to say to each one of you. I got to ask a question, and I'm sure that many of you have asked that question too. And if you haven't, I'm going to be worried that you haven't. Why haven't you asked that question? Why me, Lord? Three words. Why me, Lord? Have you ever asked that question? I won't ask you to put up your hand, but I'm sure most of you have asked that. And what is your response? Hopefully, if you don't know the answer, you will know it today. I would say the same biblical accounts or stories that led me to the saving knowledge of God's salvation as a little boy still guides me in my latter path of life that I should follow today. The words of God have never changed. In Psalm 119 and 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The wording may change. We don't use the word lamp anymore, but the meaning is still there. And for the parents, I'm sure there's a few parents here that with young children. I see a couple young children back there. Mike, my grandkids. You should look up Proverbs 22 and 6. What does it say? For parents, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it." When I was a young one, I was trained up to know the Lord. And he has been reliable to me. Hey, I can't say the opposite. I have failed. And many times I've failed miserably. But God is a forgiving God if you would go to him and ask him for forgiveness. But it's very true. In this verse it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." I was told that if you haven't trained that child up by the age of 6, you've lost him. Because he goes to school. I've always said, I send my child to learn the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s, but I didn't send them there to be socially adapted, because that's the responsibility of our parents. God uses different people and methods to lead sinners to his saving grace. I'm sure there's, what, about 40 people here? I'm sure every one of you have a, and those that have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, have a different version of what the Lord has done in their lives to show them the way of salvation. I don't think there's any two the same. Hey, Jonathan, your twin brother, were you saved by the same message or the same method? I don't think so. But I'm happy that God uses. And God is not a limiting God. I have a friend here that she's 98. And her way of salvation, the way that she was saved, was way different than the way I was saved. The message is the same, but the method was different. It says in Isaiah 55, verse 6 to 9, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he may have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Have you ever experienced God pardoning your sin? I hope you have, because it's really uplifting. It's like having a 100-pound sack of rice off your back. You struggle, but that load is not on your back, it's in your heart. And it hounds you. And it hounds you for a reason. For you that are a Christian, it bothers you so that you would go back to God. For those that do not know the Lord as their personal Savior, it should bother you to realize that you need forgiveness of your sins. It gets heavier every day. God's ways are not the same as man's ways. When I was preparing this, it came to my light, or my brain, what there is. I says, when I look through a keyhole, I have limited visibility. But God doesn't look through a keyhole. He doesn't even look through the door. There is nothing that restricts his ability to see. I see you today. You're all nicely clothed. But God sees right in you. Nothing is hidden from God. And his ways are not our ways. Because if it was, he would be restricted in what he could do for you and for me. I'd like to dwell on an account found in the Bible in 2 Kings, verses 1 to 15. This occurred about the year 850 BC, that's before Christ. That's 2,873 years ago, approximately. And you ask, why is it relevant today? Is it relevant today? Well, let's find out. Turn to your Bible, if you can, and follow me as we read the 15 verses. Verse 1. of chapter 5 for 2 Kings. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And he went in, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid, that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Assyria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Verse 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel and said, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rented his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Whereupon hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come unto me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great things, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to you, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.'" One of the main characters in this portion of scripture is a nameless slave girl. Nameless. She was captured from Samaria, a Jewish maid. Why is she not even named here? is so insignificant that she is never, not even mentioned in Scripture. But God can still use her. And He did. Why is she not even named? Can you ever think of that? God purposely didn't mention her name so that each of us can place our own name in that situation. The girl was removed from her loved ones, her familiar environment, and made to be a slave in a foreign land. I look out here and I see people from Philippines, from Fiji, from Hong Kong, from China. Why, Lord, are we here? Why do you think God put you here? Is it a coincidence? Is there anything like coincidence in the will of God? Not really. But it's important in this account that this maid, before she was enslaved, we know she was taught and believed in the true God of Israel. God, even at her young age, had prepared her to do work for Him in a foreign land, in what would you say, miserable condition? How many would like to be a slave? I wouldn't. So she was equipped and she was placed in a place that God could use her. She didn't have an opportunity to have a higher education, but she willingly used what knowledge she knew. And she had the heart to use it when the time came. You could have a PhD and this and that and everything else, but if you don't use it, my saying is, if you don't use it, you lose it. In spite of her physical predicament, she willingly witnessed to her idolatrous master, Naaman. How often do we visit or witness to those around us, especially the ones that have a dog that yells at night and goes and leaves its dropping in the front yard? And do we still say good morning to them? Are we witnesses for God? This young maiden was doing exactly what God wanted the Jewish people to do at that time in history, to show their heathen neighbors that God loves them too and is more than willing to bless them if they would only turn away from worshiping idols and worship Him. Are we conscious of that for those people around us? Do we feel that God has put us in that privileged position to witness for Him? Because how did you get to know the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody went out of the way and showed you and taught to you. Whether it's your parents, whether it's your Sunday school teacher, whether it is a friend, somebody went and did that effort. Humanly speaking, the maid had all the excuses to not have any sympathy for her master. Have you ever said, "What's it for me? Why should I go out of the way and help this guy?" Another thought is that maybe I could negotiate my release for the advice that I'm going to tell him. But we know that the maid told her master the solution that he needed without any thoughts of what she could get in return for this. Yes, this story happened 2,873 years ago. But has the Lord ever put you in a similar position and opportunity? In the year 2023, people still need to be saved, still need to know the grace of God. The Lord may have put you in a similar position. And I got 5 points here. He puts you in that position to test your devotion to do what God wants you to do. How faithful are you in what God wants you to do? Number two, to use the gifts or gift that He has given you to exercise for His glory. God doesn't put you in a predicament without giving you the tools. Last night, I tried to print out these notes, and I'm sure the evil one was trying to louse me up. The printer wouldn't work. Uh-oh. So I plugged it into somewhere else. It started to work. I find the file, but I couldn't find the file then. Ouch. So I had to reboot the computer. Finally, I found the file. I sent it to the computer, to the printer. And lo and behold, here it is right here. Without this, I'd be dead turkey. Third point is to say a word to others so that they can know how to be saved. You don't save them, but you can actually show them and point to them the way of salvation. The maid didn't cure Naaman of his leprosy, but what she said led him to the solution. Salvation is between God and the individual. I can't save my grandchildren's from the penalty of sin. God has gave the solution to each and every one that they personally themselves must go to God and ask for forgiveness of sins. I can give them a $100 bill for Christmas presents, but I can't give them salvation. But I can lead them to it. Number four, to encourage and build up others in their faith. And the very last one I like. So that when you meet Jesus in glory, he can commend you with the following words. In Matthew 25 and 23, it says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Coming straight from the Lord. Now let's look at Naaman. I'm running out of time here. What's his status? A captain of the Syrian king's army. He was pretty. You do what I say. He enjoyed recognition. He enjoyed possessions. And he enjoyed prestige. Yet Naaman enjoyed all the accolades that a man can possess, but he had leprosy, a disease that forced him to be isolated from society. We don't hear too much about leprosy today, but in 850 BC, it was a serious disease. Very serious one. I looked it up, what leprosy is. It was a chronic or a persistent disease which is caused by a type of bacteria called Mycobacterium leprae. Big long word for small little thing that would bother you. It affects the skin and the peripheral nerves, the nasal tract, and eyes. It is not immediately fatal. So it doesn't kill you right on the spot. And when one contracts leprosy, he had to be isolated from others so the disease would not spread to others. Leprosy in the Old Testament is a picture of sin. When you sin, you don't die right away. But there's a separation between you and God. When Naaman heard of the solution, he got on his high horse and went to the king of Israel with gifts to buy his cure of leprosy. Instead of going to the source of the cure, Naaman went to the king, who didn't know the cure, who couldn't provide the cure. Finally, he was sent to Elisha, the prophet of God. Listen to this. He took a gift with him. Oh, where's Jonathan? I got to get him to figure out how much gold is worth these days. He took with him 10 talents of silver, which is approximately 330 kilograms of silver. And if I calculate it right, it was about 14 million bucks. 600 shekels of gold, which approximately was about 7 kilograms, which is worth, I think today, 17 million. And 10 changes of clothes. If my calculations are correct, I have to put it through my auditor, Jonathan, there. It was about 100 million bucks. Today, this is how much the guy thought he could do. He could buy his cure for his leprosy. What did Elisha tell him to go to do instead? He says, "Go to the River Jordan and dip in it 7 times." What? What? Me? Naaman? Prominent Syrian? Dip it into the River Jordan 7 times? What are you trying to talk to? What are you telling me that for? He says, "I got better places in Syria, or Damascus, which is much cleaner." Why did he refuse? Because he was too proud. Even today, people are not accepting God's offer of salvation because it may sound too simple. Or they may have to give up too much for what they are enjoying in their present way of life. Naaman finally swallowed his pride and did exactly what the prophet Elisha told him to do. To dip in the river Jordan 7 times by faith, and we're told that he was completely healed. Then Naaman realized that the God of Israel was the one and true God, and one to whom he needs to worship instead of the idols he worshipped back at home. Who actually performed the miraculous healing of Naaman's leprosy? Was it the maid? Was it Elisha? They were involved, but only the obedience of Naaman to the direction of God's servant Elisha led to his cure. This is the same for sinners today. I could stand here and I could preach to you for till the cows come home, but it won't save you. But I could lead you. The words that God has put in his Bible will show you the way to salvation. And you don't have to bring $100 million. In fact, God would be insulted even if you brought in 1 penny, if you can find one. It is free. God has his plans, and they will be fulfilled in spite of man's often reluctance to play a part in it. God is the Almighty One that allows events to occur to fulfill his desires, and that anyone that seeks God's forgiveness of his sins will find it. Are you the one that wants to be involved in God's plans or not? He'll work around you, but he loves to give you the opportunity to be involved so that he can say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What is the believer's ultimate goal? It's to hear those words from his master. Are we willingly working and witnessing like the servant maid in spite of difficulties and trying situations that God has placed us in? Are we willing to go walk the extra mile? Or we say, it's too difficult. I don't want to do that. Maybe I'll put it off for another day. God can find another person to do it in your place. Take that opportunity when it comes, because it may not return, and somebody will get that reward instead of you. Simple as that. Or the opposite, and I don't want to say too much about this one, but it says, are we like those that know and enjoy God's blessing as the son and daughter of our Heavenly Father and say, I'm okay. And God is blessing me. But those sinners are getting their just reward. They won't listen to me anyways. Have you tried? As usual, as I study God's word, I have a mirror in front of me. And the Holy Spirit is talking to me and saying, how many times did you react like the servant maid? Or how often did you fail or even refuse to do your duty and witness for your Lord and Savior? I leave you the questions. Which biblical character that we have looked at today best fits you? And what can you do about it? Well, my time is over. And I was going to say, who am I? But I'll leave that for another day. I don't want to have anybody falling off a balcony and out of boredness and sleep. So at this time, I'll put this aside of who am I? Keep you in suspense. Isn't that what a trick from a speaker is? Next, I'll keep you this away from you so that you will come and listen to me again. So let us close in prayer. I don't even have time for a song. So let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to the throne of grace through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for providing to us your forgiveness of our sins because Jesus took it upon himself, our sins, and paid the penalty of breaking your laws. Thank you for caring for us and allowing us a peaceful country to reside in. We pray that those that may still be seeking for salvation, for peace in their lives, that they may comprehend that the only true peace can be attained through Jesus Christ, our Lord. As we depart, we ask that you will guide us this coming week, and what we say will be pleasing and honoring to you. For in Jesus' name we ask, amen.